Welcome to KBS World Radio, everyone. Thank you for joining us on Books on Demand, a show that introduces a treasure trove of Korean short stories to the global audiences. Today we introduce Forsythia by Choi In-wook. I'm your host, Walter Lee, standing in for Karen Choi. Please stay tuned and we'll be with you shortly. Although she resolved to leave everything to the fate she was born to, when she sometimes thought back on her 22 years or looked ahead into her future, Yoni couldn't help but heave a big sigh, for she could see only awful and bleak things. Choi In-wook's Forsythia was published in 1948. It's a story about Yoni, who married a farmer from the next village at age 17. She was able to enjoy a decent life thanks to her husband, a parentless but hardworking man.
In the late summer of the year following her marriage, her husband was drafted to the army. On the day he was to leave, the couple sat down to have breakfast. The husband looked at Yoni's swollen belly and asked her to be careful since the baby was coming soon. Still a bashful bride, she couldn't say anything. As if teaching a child, her husband kept reminding her of all the things she should do after his departure. The house should be rented out while she stayed at his brother's house, and as for the farm, she should ask others to help with the harvest for now, but starting in the following year, she should lease the land until he came back. He had many other instructions. Yoni could see that her husband kept telling her to stay at his brother's house, because he was most worried about what could happen to a young woman living alone. "I will do as you say, so don't worry about me."
But Yoni farmed the land herself and waited for her husband to return to their home, even after she gave birth to their baby's son, Bokdol, simply called Dori. Korea was finally liberated from Japan, and the men who were drafted for war returned home, but not Yoni's husband. "Why did you have to die? How can I raise a baby without you?" She spent most of her days crying. One night, Yoni woke up from her sleep and started searching through a chest.
What she grabbed out of the chest was a sharpened knife. This loathsome knife that she kept inside Yoni's chest since a few days after her husband had left for the war. She trusted this knife to work its fearsome magic if anybody dared come to her. Yoni put a box wrapped in a piece of white cloth on top of the chest and, sitting down in front of it, promptly picked up the knife, its blade gleaming. Her hand shook, her heart, even her whole body. The quivering tip of the knife suddenly gained power, and it was aimed at Yoni's delicate neck. Ah! The box containing her husband's ashes rolled down from the top of the chest onto Yoni's hemp skirt. With a single cry, Yoni threw away the knife and burst open the door to dash out the yard. Just then, cold raindrops crudely fell on his spine, dampened to a sweat.
Yoni believed that the box of her husband's ashes fell to tell her from beyond that he didn't want her to take her own life. So she took her baby and went to stay at her brother-in-law's house. A year later, Yoni moved to live at her brother's house. There lived her older brother, who didn't care much for his family, her mother and sister-in-law, who ran a dok store, and her nephew, Juni, 2 years older than her son, Dori. Yoni tried to do her part. She cooked, sewed, laundered, and even worked the fields, but she could never seem to satisfy her sister-in-law, and even Juni oftentimes tormented Dori. 3 years went by at her older brother's house.
A
A truck packed with lumber stopped in front of her mother's dock store to let out three or four men. Yoni's mother busily served them food and then asked the man wearing a fedora to see her later. Come see me before you leave.
Busy devouring duck at the store, the men whispered among themselves, asking, "Is that the boy? Is he the one?" One of the men called Dolly and asked him outright, "Do you know what that man is?" Dolly stared at the man wearing a faded hat and carrying a tattered bag. "He's your father." Perplexed, Dolly simply stared at the man's face. The older man smirked, unbecoming of an adult, which made other children snicker loudly. The truck left, carrying the man with the fedora. Dolly sniffled as he opened the door to his mother's room. "Mum, who was that man that came to our house?" Yoni, who was mending old clothes, pricked her finger. "You know, the man who wore a hat and carried a bag. Don't you know him?" Yoni, blushing unconsciously, just wiped the boy's nose with her apron.
The man was matched up with Yoni for remarriage. A few months ago, a matchmaker started frequenting the dock store and introduced the 45-year-old man as a candidate for Yoni's second husband. The man, who owned a lumber store, visited Yoni every few days, bringing her gifts of fruit, soap, and snacks, while his driver and assistant purchased food from Yoni's mother.
"Yoni! Yoni! Please come in. Excuse me." The man clumsily took off his shoes before entering the room. Yoni has been bracing herself for this for quite a while. So even when the man came into her room, she didn't get angry or dismayed like before. She just cursed her fickle fate. "I got a brief rundown from your mother the other day. I was very glad to hear that you too were willing to go forward. I was unfortunate enough to lose my wife last year. I've been living as a widower since then, but I don't have any children and both my parents are dead. Since it will be just the two of us, there won't be much work to do. But I wonder if you would mind the fact that I'm much older than you." The man gently took Yoni's hand as he finished the sentence. She could only feel her heart race, unable to think of anything else. After that encounter, the man came to Yoni's house more frequently on his truck. Sometimes, he even stayed the night in Yoni's room. 3 months since then, she couldn't deny that a life was growing inside her womb.
The day Yoni was supposed to move into the man's house was approaching. She asked him a question that she had meant to ask for a long time.
"What do you plan to do with Dolly? He's coming with me, right?"
"Who's Dolly?"
"My son."
"Well, we'll bring him later. He should stay a little longer with your mother. We'll bring him when he is old enough to go to school."
Yoni was too disappointed to say anything else then. Here's Pang Min-ho, professor of Korean literature at Seoul National University, to explain more about her feelings.
여성이 마음에 들어서 재혼을 하려 하는 남자라면 당연히 내가 새 아빠가 돼서
If a man loved a woman enough to marry her, he should also be willing to take care of his son from the previous marriage. Even I was surprised at the scene where he said that they should bring the boy to live with them when he is older. So imagine how disappointed Yoni must have been. I wondered why the author put Yoni in such a dismal situation. During the Japanese colonial era, or immediately after the liberation, it wasn't easily accepted for women to remarry and make a new life for herself. It was an unreasonable social restriction. Yoni demonstrated how much pain and hardship Korean women had to suffer even after the country was liberated.
있었는지를 바로 이 여주인공의 모습을 통해서 담담하지만 아주 전곡을 찌르듯이 그렇게 보여주려고 했던 것이 아니냐라고 생각이 됩니다.
One day, when yellow forsythias blossomed behind the stone walls, Dolly was reciting a few things he picked up while Juni was studying.
"The 13th day, the icicles, the sparkling icicles."
He was pretending to read a book out loud when he ran across Gugil, another young boy from the neighborhood. Hey, I heard your mom is getting married again.
Yeah, my mom is getting married again.
Are you going with her?
Yeah, I'm going with her, and so will my grandma.
You liar!
It's true!
Dolly twisted his lips before pretending to read a book again and walking over to the road by himself. But the truth of the matter was that Dolly had just repeated what his friend had said. The boy had an inkling that he wasn't wanted at the man's house. The day of departure came for Yoni.
In the middle of the day, when yellow forsythias blossomed behind the stone wall, a truck loaded with lumber stopped in front of Dolly's house. The man left the truck, carrying an old bag, and entered the house. Before long, he came out with Yoni, her eyes brimming with tears, walking ahead of him. Before getting on the truck, she looked for her son. Bukto! Her voice choked as she called out his name, but the boy didn't show up. Where could he be? If you stay with Grandma, I will buy some nice clothes and come for you, said Yoni while holding back tears. Just when the truck was about to leave, Dolly, who hadn't answered Yoni's call, was found to have smuggled himself into the truck, secretly tucked among the belongings piled on the truck bed. He was discovered by the man's assistant and dragged down from this truck. Dolly desperately chased after the truck, but the distance simply grew farther and farther. Yoni knew what was happening behind her, but she still went. She had to go to where the truck took her.
On the day when forsythias bloomed, Yoni had to leave her son behind. Here is literary critic Chon So-yeon to tell us what the forsythias meant in this story.
개나리는 진달래와 더불어서 한국의 대표적인 꽃이라고 할 수 있을 텐데요.
Forsythia and azalea are Korea's two most iconic flowers. The meaning of forsythia is hope, but Yoni gives hope on everything and leaves herself a fate in spring. The season of hope, when forsythias are in full bloom. The beautiful spring scenery and Yoni's sad heart stand in contrast to play up the tragedy of the situation. I believe this last scene contains the author's sharp perception of reality. The story was published 2 years before the Korean War started. Ordinary Koreans were forced to live through despair again. Yoni was described in the last scene as, she had to go where the truck took her. Here, the truck meant history, implying that people had no other recourse than to go where history took them.
것은 역사, 즉 역사가 흘러가는 방향으로 무작정 떠밀려가야만 했던 당대인들의 슬픈 운명을 암시하는 문장입니다.
Thank you for tuning into Books on Demand. This week we read Forsythia by Choi In-wook. This has been Walter Lee, filling in for Karen Choi, and please join the show for next week.